Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shankara Belpro Limited Q3 and 9 months FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Swayam Pukharna from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for taking out the time to join us today in this Q3 and 9 month FY 2026 earnings conference call of Shankara Belpro Limited. This is our first earnings call after the demerger from Shankara Building Products Limited. The latest earnings presentation for Belpro has been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. If you wish to be added to our mailing list, please feel free to write to us. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. C. Ravikumar, Executive Director, Mr. Dhananjay Mirle Srinivas, Executive Director, and Mr. Alex Varghese, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and 9 months from Mr. Dhananjay Mirle Srinivas, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that this conference call may contain certain forward-looking statements about the performance of the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve certain risks and uncertainties. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Srinivas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Swayam. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join us today for our first earnings call of the demerged company, Shankara Belpro Limited. Post our demerger from Shankara Building Products Limited, Shankara Belpro Limited was listed on both the NSE and the BSE on the 9th of January, 2026. This marks a new chapter for Shankara Belpro Limited. Shankara Belpro Limited is a unique building materials marketplace where we cater to customers across the construction, infrastructure, and home improvement space. The company has two distinct verticals, steel and non-steel, operating through its 94 stores and 36 fulfillment centers spread across Tier 1, 2, and 3 cities and towns in 10 states and one union territory. The marketplace operates on an asset-light model, which results in higher capital efficiency and superior ROCEs. With a total retail footprint of over 5.3 lakh sq ft, Belpro is the largest retailer and distributor of steel pipes and tubes in India. The last few quarters witnessed a clear contrast in demand trends between the steel and non-steel industries. Steel demand has remained strong across all regions and markets we operate in, partially supported by an increase in infrastructure spend by the central government. There has been a substantial increase in steel buildings and industries, which has supported our ambitious growth. We hope that this demand trend sustains in the coming quarters. Non-steel demand has been tepid for the past few quarters. The entire industry across multiple products like tires, plumbing, sanitaryware, etc. have faced similar headwinds. A variety of factors from weak export markets, volatility in raw material pricing, and elongated monsoon resulted in delays and postponements in construction activity. In addition to these factors, some of the southern states were impacted by changes in government policy. All these factors led to a slower growth. We hope the demand environment improves in the coming quarters, getting us back to our growth trajectory. Shankara Belpro Limited delivered a robust steel sales volume of 2.61 lakh tons in Q3 FY26 and 7.27 lakh tons in 9 months of FY26, registering a growth of 37% and 38% year-on-year respectively. Steel sales stood at rupees 1,520 crores in Q3 and 4,384 crores for the 9 months, a growth of 34% year-on-year respectively. Our non-steel sales stood at rupees 146 crores for the quarter and rupees 445 crore for the 9 months. The overall top line was rupees 1,666 crores for Q3 FY26 and rupees 4,829 crores for 9 months FY26, reflecting a growth of 29% and 30% year-on-year respectively. EBITDA margins for the quarter came in at rupees 55 crores at 3.30% for Q3 FY26 and rupees 158 crores at 3.28% for the 9 months of FY26. As against 2.75 and 2.8 year-on-year respectively. As a result, our profit after tax for the 9 months stood at rupees 86.5 crore, reflecting a strong 77% growth over the same period last year. For 9 months FY26, our ROCE stood at 37% and our working capital remains under 30 days. Looking ahead, we are optimistic to close the financial year on a healthy note and achieve our target of 1 million tons in steel volume in Shankara Buildpro Limited standalone. Buildpro continues to be a one-stop marketplace for all building material needs with a well-diversified presence across steel and non-steel categories. We currently operate 130 stores and fulfillment centers spread across more than 5.3 lakh square feet of retail space, covering our 10 states and one union territory. Our operations are deeply penetrated at the grassroots level with a strong presence across Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns, in addition to metros and state capitals. This geographic mix gives us a real advantage in reaching customers across a wide market base. We are truly an omni-channel marketplace offering multi-brand and multi-category coverage along with last-mile service to our customers. The strong foundations laid by Buildpro will result in long-term growth and value creation as we remain focused on expanding our reach, deepening our category penetration, and maintaining financial discipline. Thank you, and I would now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Viraj from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the team for spectacular results. Sir, my first question is, in an environment where the manufacturers are struggling in early teens growth and some of them are even reporting negative growth, how have we gotten such a large growth of 37-38%, and is this driven by trade, non-trade? If you can just decipher that a little bit, or are we gaining market share in some geographical areas? Some granularity on this growth will help.
I think one of the key factors for this robust growth, apart from that, we have not really witnessed in the steel part at least any negative growth or a slowdown in demand. Demand has been fairly robust. However, we grew spectacularly in the last time we were talking about in the beginning of the year, our penetration into the western geographies for steel. We were already present, but we were much more aggressive in Maharashtra and Gujarat, as well as to some extent in MP. I think these three states really triggered a substantial volume growth. So I think if we look at the broadly the numbers, I think in the West, just a minute as I'm focusing, I think we have grown over 25% in the 1 minute. Western growth, Alex, can you just give me a second? What, give me the volume growth. 37%. 27% is volume.
20%.
Yes. So around 50% is our growth in the volume in the western region. I think that is what has really sustained our superior growth overall, while it has remained around 20 in the southern region. So I think that has also helped in getting that substantial growth in this overall numbers that have gone to that 34-35%.
Right, sir. And if you can just talk about what has been the trade and non-trade mix this quarter and for the 9 months.
So 54% is the retail and 46% in channel and enterprise.
Okay. And sir, last question, looking at the price increase that we've seen since December, can you talk a little bit about how do you see the growth going forward, especially considering the significant price increase that we have seen? Is there any sluggishness in demand?
I think the price increase, really the impact happened probably towards the end of December. Basically in January is where the real impacts have started happening. I think the first dose, as you're all aware, in the first 8-9 months, it was always a downward trend. And there was a stabilization in December, particularly in the last 10 days or so. And yes, January went through very well, I must say. And there is some resistance too, because the price increase have been fairly substantial. There will be some resistance at a point. And, you know, we'll have to see the next, because we are in the middle of this quarter. So far, so good. The first 1.5 months have gone through fairly well. We'll have to see what will be the kind of resistance that could crop up on this price. However, being the last quarter of the year, generally the demand is also substantial. So I think we should be able to, I think it should be able to carry through comfortably.
And sir, in the past, whenever we have seen pricing, we have seen inventory loss coming to our books, and sometimes substantial inventory loss of 15-20 crores also. So with such a large price increase, do you see, and if the price sustains, of course, do you see inventory gains for us?
If you are talking about this quarter, definitely
yes, Q4.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, there will be definitely some impact of the inventory gains.
So let's say if the price increases 7,000 rupees per ton, will we be able to retain at least, I would say, half of it on our inventory, which is like 80,000-85,000 tons?
We hope so. Let's watch and wait. We've still got another month and a half, and let's keep our fingers crossed that there is no, because steel prices have been quite volatile. So definitely there should be some help on that. Yes.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Adarsh from Negen Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the listing. I have mainly two questions. My first question is that in this quarter, we saw a record top line of 1,666 crores, yet the PAT has fallen sequentially from 29 to 25 crores. Given that our steel volumes have grown the way we have, like by 37% year on year, can you quantify how much of this margin contraction was due to the demerger, and how much was it due to the inventory losses from falling steel prices?
Here, the main impact was there was a new labor code around 2.61 crores of additional gratuity provision has been made that we can see in the exceptional items. That has affected the bottom line. But
so it's nothing related to the business?
Yeah, demerger cost around 1.5 crores has been booked for the quarter.
Okay, and my second question, sir, is that we have the management has set an explicit target of 20% revenue contributions from the non-steel products by FY27. But this quarter, we have seen 5% year-on-year decline to 146 crores. So with the current mix, which is at around 9 to 11%, what changes are being made to the incentive structures or in the business to hit this target?
So I think we guided around a 20% of the non-steel around 2029 to 2030, FY 2030, when we're looking at around 10,000 crore top line. So I think this year has been a bit of a roadblock, I mean a bit of a speed bump, but I think things are looking better and we are looking to get back on that track from next year. We have already worked on what changes need to be done internally, whether it's expanding markets, expanding products, or finding new avenues. And I think we will start seeing those results from the second quarter of the coming financial year.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So can you give us what was the inventory loss during this quarter and in Q2?
So Q3 there was no inventory loss as such.
Okay. Okay. But because I think, and what about Q2?
Q2, I think it was around 12 crores was the overall inventory loss.
Q2, it was 12.
Q1 and 2 was around 12 crores of inventory loss.
But in Q3, we had seen a pretty sizable decline in the prices throughout October and, you know, November. It's only the end December the prices had actually gone up. So how did we manage, you know, this?
See, honestly, there would have been a marginal inventory loss, but the main management of inventory is, you know, the, how we buy effectively. So I think it's a lot of thing on the purchase part of it. And we do get certain price guarantees, et cetera, from our suppliers in a downward market based on your volume liftings. So I think that is how we try and hedge our inventory loss to the best we can.
Okay, okay. Because I think last year, if I remember, during FY25, there was a similar decline in the prices and we had sort of incurred some 10, 12 crores of inventory loss.
Last year was around 20 crores at this first 2-3 quarters. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, what has changed between then and now that we have, you know, sort of managed this?
We have, I mean, against the 20, we are about 12 this year. I think it was a little more careful planning on the purchase and the inventory management, basically.
Okay. And second question is, I think you gave us figures of 50% growth in the, you know, Western region. How much does Western region contribute to our, you know, steel business?
It's currently contributing to close to about 17%.
Okay.
About
17%. So then actually the math.
Yeah.
So then math doesn't add up in terms of, you know, 70% going at 50% and your 20% business going at, your rest 80% business going at 20%. So still it's giving...
Can we take this offline? This nitty
gritty. Sure. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Yog Rajani from Omega Portfolio Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding the tax. I believe this quarter we had a very high tax expense. If you could please explain that, that would be quite helpful.
Sorry, we just lost it in the beginning of it. What was the specific on the tax that you were asking about?
Because on the tax, I believe our effective tax expense would be around 35% for this quarter compared to a normal of 25%. If you could explain that, that would be quite helpful.
So there is one 2.8 crores of earlier year expense was there. So that was one-time expense which was booked in quarter three. So that was the main impact which has happened.
And even if we exclude that, it would be around 28%. Like, what would our normalized be for the entire year, if you could comment on that?
Yeah, it will be around 25% will be there for the year. It will be coming.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. My second question is with regards to our strategy. Now that we would, we are aiming to hit 1 million tons for this financial year, that is a substantial volume. Could you please explain like how would we manage to be so efficient given our core competitive advantage is capital efficiency in this business? It's just a very huge size, so just wanted to understand that a little better.
I think going forward, could you just repeat the question? Sorry, we just there's been a bit of a disconnect in the line.
So we are planning to hit 1 million tons in sales for this financial year. And given that it's a huge volume and given that we are one of the most efficient companies, if you could please explain how, like, our core competency in a more detailed manner with regards to efficiency about how we are planning to, how do we do it so well while other companies would struggle to do so well?
So see, what we have done this year, we have started focusing on long and flat products in a big way. That has resulted in this kind of volume growth.
No, I wanted, given our ROC is around, say, 37%, it's a very high number, so I wanted to understand how do we do it so well, because most players in the market would not be able to achieve such high ROCs in the business. If you could comment on how the management plans its inventory purchases, receivables, and how does it manage such a huge volume, because we operate over multiple states now. So how does the company manage to be efficient even at such a huge scale?
I think that would be giving into our USPs and a lot of trade secrets to go to the market. So I don't think that would be something we'd really be comfortable asking in a public forum. I'm sure we could take things like this. If you want to schedule a call with us as a management, we can look at that.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So I just wanted to understand, I mean, you mentioned we have 20% non-steel revenue target mix by 2030, right?
Yes, correct.
And what's the revenue that you mentioned by 2030? That what's the target we have?
Looking at a top line of around 10,000 crores.
10,000 crores, right? So already we are currently in the range of, I think we are doing 1,617. So we are already at, what, close to 6,500 crores kind of a run rate.
Correct.
So if reaching 10,000 by 2030, the CAGR seems quite low, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. And so what's the...
It could be a little more than that. I mean, we are being very conservative in this guidance, but it definitely could be more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair point. And in terms of non-steel, this 20%, so what efforts we are doing to improve, I mean, how are we going about it to improve that mix? I mean, ideally, I also believe that your non-steel margin would be higher, right? So what's the non-steel versus steel margin also? That would be helpful.
So, definitely non-steel, we do have a gross margin of around 8 to 10%, GP of 8 to 10%, and whereas our steel GPs would be around 4 to 5%. So that would be the difference in the gross margins. In non-steel, I think we have, I mean, there's been an overall demand slowdown in the market. I think southern states being hit, being a stronger basis being southern states, with changes in government policy, longer monsoons. So there has been a complete slowdown of construction activity. Things, we're looking at one, things bouncing back in the coming quarters. That will definitely help us increase our demand. So secondly, we are looking at other states to increase growth over there, where we are very nascent recently. Right now, maybe opened this year. So looking at good growth in those states as well. And I think looking at more opportunities wherein we can push up our top lines for the non-steel. So I think a mix of these factors, definitely with an improved and sustained improvement in demand, will help us go achieve these numbers we are looking at.
But ideally, if there is a slowdown in construction activity, it's not visible in steel, right? Still we are seeing quite good growth.
I think you can say the end use of our products in steel vary and are much larger than what we non-steel, whereas non-steel does depend more on construction activity. Steel depends on infra, industries, a lot of other things coming in. So we have complete, I mean, we have automotives, you have OEMs, we have airports coming up, train station, railways, we have a lot of warehousing and storage points coming up for all our new startups and everything else. So I think the where steel products can go is a much larger market relative to our non-steel. So I think that would be why steel has continued to deliver good growth compared to the non-steel business.
Okay, understood, understood. And overall at a company level, how should one look at EBITDA margins? So any aspiration we have or how should one, I mean, given your non-steel is also not growing that fast as steel, which has a lower GPs. So how should one look at margins for next 1 to 2 years?
So we are focusing around 3 to 3.5% EBITDA margin.
For, I mean, what, next 2 years?
Yeah, 3.5%. We are 3.5% for another 2 years. So we are looking for more, but we are confident that 3.5% will be achieved.
The aspiration is to go more. I think for the next year we could look around 3.5% and then take it up for the following financial year.
4.
The aspiration would be around 4.
Take it up to 4%. Any timeline we have? I mean, when we can?
Maybe in 2 years.
Okay. Take it up to 4 in next 2 years. Okay. Okay, okay. I think that would be it from my side. That was very helpful. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank
all the
you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding working capital days for our steel versus non-steel segment. And where do we see this as our target of 20% of our revenue should come from non-steel? So where do we see this heading?
Overall, our working capital is around 30 days. So when you are taking the breakup of steel and non-steel, non-steel will be around 40 days because we will be having higher inventory for display, all those things. So steel will be around 27 days. So on an average, it is around 30 days.
Sir, non-steel, you mentioned 48 days.
48,
okay, got it. And sir, there was a lot of real estate construction activity, and so why is our non-steel segment struggling currently, and do we see that, you said that over the next few quarters we see this improving, do we see that the real estate cycle coming towards the completion stage should help us, or what will be the driver for this segment picking up going forward?
I think two things. I think one is post-COVID and during COVID, there was a slowdown in new product launches, project launches, which has picked up afterwards. And usually buildings take around 3 to 4 years to come to completion. So we should be expecting completion coming in from Q2 of FY27. And that's why this year has seen a gap in terms of buildings coming to this finishing product. Second is last year there was an overall impact of slowdown in terms of approvals and things like that at different state levels, which has also slowed down construction activities, and there's been postponement of projects and end customers for the same reason.
I think one of the key reasons is because it's Karnataka is our major state contributor to the volumes. I think we had a lot of governmental intervention in over the last year. There was something called an e-Khata that was required. So which took a lot of time for the backup in terms of, you know, delivering the e-Khata to the builders. As a result, a lot of things were not delivered to the end customers. Number two, there were also certain issues in electricity connections. There were new rules that were drafted by the local BESCOMs and the Karnataka as well as Telangana, two states that were impacted by a lot of these interventions from the government. So there was, by the state government that is, so there were some delays. I think they're slowly getting ironed out now, at least in partially in Karnataka, some of these issues have been sorted out. So we see that once these issues are sorted out, automatically occupancies and occupiers, the certificates and builders will also, you know, go faster to complete their projects.
Got it. And sir, I'm trying to understand regarding non-steel segment, sir, what would be our percentage from retail versus institutional or enterprise level clients, and how is our gross margin and working capital cycle for these enterprise or the larger builder kind of customers?
So right now, non-steel would say around 60-65% would be from retail, and the remaining would be from the non-trade, from the trade segment. Working capital wise, definitely it would be similar for both, because where it is in No. Because we need to hold more inventory when it comes to a retail segment, whereas we do have more receivables when it comes to a trade segment. So they would balance out, so working capital would remain the same.
Got it. Sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Bhatt from Equity Works Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, my question was regarding the sales growth, right? So already we are somewhere around at 17%. There has been a very good improvement in that. My question is like how far improvement can be there in this particular aspect? Is there room for growth?
We feel that the similar number is possible. I think going forward, we are confident that the store, after existing stores, are able to pull out and push out more turnover. So we are looking around the similar growth. I think if we do see a slowdown, then we would look at expansion or other strategies.
Got it. Thank you. That's something. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sir, in the press release, you had written about you're expecting strong growth even in FY27. And if I look at the commentary also of some of your suppliers like APL Apollo or Surya Roshni, they also talk about 15-20% or higher volume growth next year. So after doing a million tons this year, what would be the growth you will be looking at next year?
We like Dhananjay said earlier, you know, giving away too many of our plans on this forum is becoming a little difficult because we find a lot of competitors trying to, you know, glean a lot of information. But however, one thing I can tell you is in the next couple of hours, our next aspiration is to take just the steel tube volume to around a million tons.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Palak Bhanushali from MIB. Please go ahead.
So my question is on our sales breakup for a retail and non-retail business. I don't think that we have provided at this quarter. Can you give that number?
So our retail business would be around 55% and the non-retail would be around 45%.
Okay. And can you provide few metrics related to your stores? I mean, what is the capex per store, revenue per store, or margins per store, or how are we planning to add the stores going ahead, how the stores are going to be funded? So few metrics regarding the stores.
So we're looking at adding maybe 3 to 4 stores in the coming financial year where we see we need a strategic fit. And when it comes to the matrix, I think on average we have a capex around 3 crores for a hybrid store.
I think we can come back to this later.
Okay. So is this 3 crores capex including the inventory lease cost?
It would be including the inventory.
Including the inventory. Okay. And what are the payback periods for our store?
Madam, can we come back to this later, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Somia from Eco Quantum Solutions Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Given your aspiration to reach 1 million tons in your steel business, and let's assume your non-steel remains flat next year, is it fair to assume you can grow your volumes by 20%?
Yes, I think that would be our aspiration for sure.
And given the base would be slightly higher, how should we think about growth beyond that? Because then your journey to 10,000 will be quite close. So I just want to understand the aspiration.
So our aspiration would also be to mix our revenues going forward, maybe after we come towards closer to the 10,000 crore mark, because there are products in steel and non-steel that can give us better margins. So I think definitely we're looking at maybe a better margin mix and a more focus on margins also, apart from just top line.
Okay, so after FY27, your focus will shift more towards margin.
Yes.
Is that and, sir, I have noticed that you're quite conservative on your margin guidance, but you always tend to do better than we think. So a little more, I know you told us 4% is an aspirational target, but a little more conviction on that would really help us investors, if you can give us something.
I think it would be always better to under-promise and over-deliver rather than have it the other way around. But definitely we are aspiring and we are quite confident that we can achieve what we're looking at. Definitely, like we said, around 4% EBITDA in 2 years' time, definitely growing around 20% on average for next year as well. So I think our plans are quite clear. I think as the quarters and years go ahead, we'll be able to give out more information.
Perfect. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. So can you give us the balance sheet figures as of December? What were the acceptances and how much was the debt?
So acceptance, you can say around 450 crores is the acceptance.
Okay.
And borrowing around 50 crores, around 500 crores is the total borrowing.
Okay. 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 So these acceptances are pretty increased pretty sharply, I think, during this quarter, if I compare it to the previous quarter. What would have driven that?
Yeah, mainly the rate of interest, we are able to bargain better comparing the working capital. So that is the reason.
And what is the rate of interest which you are getting on these?
We are getting around 7.5 to 8%.
Okay. And how much was the inventory as of December?
Sorry, inventory. Did you say inventory gain?
No, inventory.
Inventory.
One second. The inventory is around 400 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nishant Bhatt from Equity Works Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. We have seen good improvement in steel prices. And I think that should definitely show up in the inventory gain. So wouldn't this be margin accretive going forward if the steel prices go up?
For the quarter, yes.
Okay. Okay, sir, that's all.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sukumar Srinivas for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I thank all the investors and the participants to have taken time off on a working busy day in the middle of the afternoon to attend this investor presentation and call. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. On behalf of TIL Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.